Hi everyone, Husna here, and you are listening to Undocumented Sabah. Alright, so for this episode, we will touch more on the second most significant impact of statelessness, or in some cases, you could say as the most significant, which is education.
Syakila sendiri orang Sabah ke?
Oh tidak, saya orang KL.
Orang KL. Okay, tapi dah lama lah bekerja dengan
sekolah alternatif. 2 tahun lebih kurang.
Okay, baik.
My friend Aisha and I, we went to see the manager of Sekolah Alternatif, a 26-year-old lady named Syakila. And I first met Syakila in July last year, if I'm not mistaken, when I visited Sekolah Alternatif Sempurna and Sekolah Alternatif Tawau. Sometimes I will also see her at Sekolah Alternatif Teluk Layan, which is another branch in Kota Kinabalu and a lot closer to my house. So it was like meeting an old friend for me, I would say. But for Aisha, it was her first time. This is what she has to say about Syakila.
For my first impression of her, she seems very friendly as she welcomed us into her office with such a warm smile. As someone who only has basic knowledge on this issue in general, I am so grateful to have this opportunity to meet her and have her personally explain the state most undocumented children face at the moment. While talking to her, I noticed how enthusiastic she was in the conversation we just had. I think after seeing how invested she was, I found myself wanting to learn more. And I became more curious on what Sekolah Alternatif stood for and what they were doing to actually change and improve the livelihood of this community in general.
Exactly. The interview was so fruitful and it was done in full Malay. They'll be translated into English, so I hope to do her words justice. Alright, Sekolah Alternatif. The name itself is self-explanatory, I believe. A school that provides an alternative for the undocumented children in Sabah so that they'll have access to education. Which I think in a way is pretty funny because providing access to education is supposed to be the government's job. But in this case, that is not what is happening.
And that is why we're looking deeper into the big questions of how, why, and who are involved in this issue.
Our conversation started by looking at the education level generally in Sabah before narrowing down to the undocumented community and next more focused on Sekolah Alternatif. Since I cannot show you the map, so let's picture it together as I explain its geography.
So she briefly explained to us on how the industries are divided within the state. The Western Sabah is more on agriculture, while the Eastern Sabah is more on fishery. So the communities that we are focusing more in this podcast are those living, are those staying in Eastern Sabah. I'm sorry, my mind was still thinking. Yeah, Eastern Sabah, we are speaking about Lahad Datu, Kudat, Tawau, Sempurna, the regions that are closer to Indonesia and Philippines. The education system here in Malaysia is very KL-centric. Maybe those in Peninsular Malaysia, Semenanjung, they generally know how MRT and LRT look like, but like from books or any types of online platform. But for these children specifically, for those in Eastern Sabah, they say nothing and they know nothing. Another one is English. Like its significance is not apparent in certain parts of the state. So they are never going to use it and they don't really see foreigners where they live at. Again, we're not generalizing, but the education system is in Sabah is not well distributed, not systematic. It really depends on the localities, geography, background of the community, and above all, access, whether you have access to education or not. All right, back to our podcast title and why it is so important to talk about it. The undocumented souls in Sabah. What does it mean to be undocumented? How much weight does it carry? I always thought that I knew how to explain to people what being a stateless mean, but when Syakila described it so perfectly, I knew I must use the same way of describing it as well. Now remember what I'm about to say. Being undocumented means not having any identification card, no birth certificate, no single form of recognition, no formal spelling of your name, where do you live, your race, absolutely nothing. And because you're not in the record, not anywhere in the system, who do you belong to? Alright, you were born in this village. So why are you not Malaysian then? You know, my full name is Noor Husna, but Noor is spelled N-O-O-R instead of N-U-R. But N-U-R is like the common spelling here in Malaysia. So when people misspell my name, I get pissed off. Like, I know, very petty. But like these people, what I'm trying to say is they would never know that. And what happens next when you're not documented? You have no access to education, healthcare, any public services, even no freedom to travel. Let's say we got robbed, God forbid, or we lost our wallets. We can easily go to the police station and lodge a report. But when you are undocumented, most likely you'll be afraid to go to public places. Because if something happened, you cannot protect yourself at all. Or worse, considered as an intruder. Or what we say as pendatang haram.
Jangan abaikan kami, anak-anak negeri ini. Bercita tinggi membangun bangsa, negaraku berjaya.
So if you are wondering how different can their life be from the rest of us who have identification card, well, physically they look like us, normal human being, 100%. But yeah, for these undocumented children, they are different because for kids their age, the place is at school. But while others go to school from 8 a.m. to 12 p.m., they're out there on the streets. And life on the streets is not easy. It forces them to beg, to steal, and eventually create what known to us as an eyesore. And based on the same concern, which is not getting education, this is when Sekolah Alternatif comes in. And for the first part, I'll give you a little bit of introduction from Shakila herself on what Sekolah Alternatif is.
Jadi, kenapa Sekolah Alternatif ini wujud? Untuk memberi mereka pencerahan. Kita nak cerahkan mereka, pendidikan tu macam mana. Dan kita memberi mereka peluang dan ruang juga yang dengan ada sekolah ini mereka boleh belajar sekurang-kurangnya untuk tahu membaca, menulis dan mengira. Sebab itu kita kata asas pendidikan kan, asas
untuk tahu, paling asas.
Reading, writing, kita tahu asas tu. Kalau dah tahu asas tu, kiranya okeylah, sekurang-kurangnya kita tidak ditipu, kita tidak ditindas. Kemudian sekarang Sekolah Alternatif juga mengusahakan untuk mereka tahu kemahiran-kemahiran. Contoh menjahit, memasak, bertukang. Jadi apabila, walaupun mereka jadi dokumen, tetapi apabila mereka ada sesuatu untuk mereka tawarkan kepada kehidupan keseharian, contoh apabila mereka pergi ke restoran, daripada mereka menjadi waiter, pelayan mengangkat pinggan, mereka ada kemahiran memasak. Jadi mereka boleh tawarkan, aku tahu masak. Mungkin gaji akan lebih sedikit, hormat dan respect komuniti tempatan tu akan lebih sedikit pada mereka. Jadi begitulah, itu yang apa Sekolah Alternatif offer, tawarkan dan kita sediakan kepada anak-anak ini.
Brilliant point. Exactly, education indeed gives us a sense of dignity and value. No matter how basic it is, education is never not useful for the humanity. Among other things, we ask Shakila about how the school system was first introduced to the children. We need to know, right? Like, they never experienced school, and then suddenly at the age of 13 or 16 or 9, a school is opened within their perimeter. It is important to note that Sekolah Alternatif is a product of many research done and reports built and established with the local community. We'll talk more on that as we go, but they operate unlike the mainstream schools that you and I go to. as soon as the students arrive in the morning, they'll have this like morning routine where they brush their teeth together, and the school will prepare nutritious breakfast for them, and then a period of reading session will be provided. And they also have this mini assembly, or what they call as sesi meraih pelajar, which literally means a session to celebrate the students. In this session, the teachers will ask about their well-being, their family, and they'll talk about the importance of school, the importance of knowledge, very simple but profound topics. And then the class starts. All these activities eventually build up to a routine customized for these children. From what Shakila told us, I can say that the routine makes them look forward to going to school. Very cute. Good food, good environment, a safe space for them to play and learn at the same time. And not only that, they are also required to teach their family members or friends who have no formal education as well once they get back home. So the following answer is a more detailed response to our question, do Sekolah Alternative incorporate any of the community's cultural elements in the teaching method? How do they know the best way of delivery, what to do and what not to do? Before anything else, the first step and the most essential one is to understand the community. Sekolah Alternative do this by staying together with them, as in staying in the same village as they do. They have three permanent teachers, Cikgu Mukmin and Cikgu Achmad in Semporna and Cikgu Azwan in Tawau. Only by doing this could they know how are the actual conditions and problems there. Second, they did an analysis on the community. They gathered the data on the literacy level, they visited the houses, the markets, talked to the parents, the kids, they built connections. And from there, they had an idea on what could they offer and what lines not to cross. This took them a long time. It didn't happen within few weeks or anything shorter than that.
Sebenarnya sehingga sekarang pun, kami masih belajar apa teknik yang terbaik. Sebab kanak-kanak itu membesar. Okay, kanak-kanak itu membesar dan kita pun sebenarnya masih, kalau 2 tahun, 3 tahun ni, kira anak-anak pun kalau ikut standard manusia, dia baru nak belajar berlari lah, dia baru belajar nak pegang pensel. Jadi maksudnya kami pun masih belajar, bukan dia establish 10 tahun, tidak.
Personally, I think an important point Shakila had pointed out while we were interviewing her would be the methods and initiatives Sekolah Alternative takes on while teaching these undocumented children. As Shakila had just said, the NGO prefers to take on an interactive role in teaching these children, and I think it's an interesting stance to take, rather than following the normal traditional method.
One thing I find very interesting is that the teachers, they are given full freedom on how they want to conduct the classes, as long as it benefits the children. How they do it in Semporna is different from how they do it in Tawau. In fact, it is quite impossible for them to have a rigid system. Because the teachers, the volunteers, they come from all sorts of education backgrounds, which for Sekolah Alternative is a bonus. It adds more creativity, more fun for the children. Some of them are theatre professionals, so they apply that knowledge of theirs in teaching as well. As a manager, Shakila is responsible to look for any courses or programs relevant to the development of the teachers.
Macam saya pengurus, saya akan mencarilah kursus-kursus yang bersesuaian dengan guru sebagai untuk mereka tambah nilai juga lagi diri mereka dan pengetahuan, dan penting untuk berjumpa dengan orang kan, diskusi, membangun naratif-naratif baru, begitulah.
In terms of what not to do, Shakila explained to us on how the efforts or the urge to give education must not come only from them. It takes two to tango, so the local community has to feel the importance of education as well.
Contoh paling nyata di Tawau lah. Kalau Aisyah tengok dulu di Tawau waktu mula-mula sekolah dibuka, kita buka dekat lantai tau, dekat tanah. Sampailah beberapa bulan, 3 bulan lepas tu, Pak Cik Muin, salah seorang daripada komuniti yang memberi ruang rumah dia untuk buat sekolah. Maksudnya kita tahu pendidikan tu datang daripada mereka. Bukannya kita yang beria-ia.
Haa, faham.
Maksudnya, kita tinggal kat dalam kampung tu. Barulah kita tahu kenapa dia orang macam ni.
Nak tanya berapa lama?
Berapa lama kalau
tahu diorang betul-betul macam
sejak 2017.
Oh.
Kalau ditawau sejak 2019 sebab sekolah tu pun baru buka. Oh. Dan kita kira buka brush lain dekat Tawau.
Sekolah Alternatif is still a new organization, still growing, still very, very fresh. They can't manage all in the village. We're speaking about thousands of them. So the question is, how did they feel the urgency to assist the communities in Semporna, Tawau and KK first, rather than other places? Do they aim to include more in the future, if given the capability and resources to? When we speak about Bajau or Bajau Laut in general, two thoughts will usually come to people's mind. That they still live on the open sea, on the water, and that they don't want our kind of education system. They are comfortable that way. However, what we don't usually see is that how modernization has affected them greatly over time. Those who used to have boats as houses now live in still houses, very close to the land. And we eventually have to accept that this is a community built on a particular culture and lifestyle. Just like how you would see kampung orang Cina, kampung orang India, kampung orang asli in Semenanjung. So this is kampung orang Bajau. So to answer our question, Sekolah Alternatif is focusing on stateless people affected by the surrounding politics and economy. That is the key word. Those who are affected by modernization. A lot of them are no longer nomadic, but rather interdependent with the local communities on land. For Semporna, the children, they live around 2 kilometers away from the town, very near, hence making it impossible for them not to be affected by people like us, people with documents. And this also gives them no choice, no other choices but to do the work, the works others do and to live the way others live.
Jadi itu je Semporna kita buat analisis. Kemudian di Tawau pula memang ada keperluan sebab mereka memang tinggal dekat dalam kawasan tapak pelarian Filipina, jelas di situ. Tapi walaupun mereka dekat dalam tapak pelarian yang sebagai gambar dia punya apa signboard, walaupun mereka tinggal di situ tetapi pendidikan tidak diberi pada mereka sebab tapak pelarian tu macam saya cakap tadi berkaitan dengan sejarah. Mereka diterima pada tahun 1970-an dulu oleh Ketua Menteri Sabah.
Sangat lama.
Sangat lama. Tapi selepas itu tiada, mereka adalah generasi pelarian. Jadi tidak ada pengurusan terhadap orang-orang ini. Jadi tiada dokumen, tidak didaftarkan. Jadi apa akan jadi dengan keturunan-keturunan ni? Mereka tidak kembali ke Philippines sebab mereka lahir di sini. Jadi kita melihat macam di Semporna, kita mengambil kampung yang majoriti tiada dokumen. Di Tawau, kita mengambil kampung yang dekat dalam kawasan tapak pelarian. Jadi menjawab soalan Husna adalah, ya, kita buat analisis dan kita melihat kawasan-kawasan ini sebagai satu, kita menganggap sebagai simbol lah. Wah, kalau cek di Semporna, kampung bangang-bangang orang tahu itu banyak dan dokumen. Dan itu mewakili kampung-kampung lain secara amnya. Macam itulah.
Okey. In the first episode, our guest E mentioned about the connection between statelessness and politics. It is related. The fact that they are stateless and undocumented is a political impact. Very recently, we've witnessed sudden changes in our government, one after another. So how do these changes affect the situation? For example, our previous Minister of Education, Dr. Mazli Malik, made an announcement in early 2019 saying that stateless children are now accepted in schools. The question is, what were taken into consideration before the announcement was made? How are the school facilities in Sabah? Are they enough to cater for a big number of stateless children coming in? if they're going to be put in the same school as other students, would there be any psychological consequences? The teachers, are they all prepared? What are the strategies?
Politik memang akan berubah. Pemerintah memang tidak ada agenda dan matlamat masing-masing. Tapi kita sebagai orang yang menjalankan kerja ini tetap kena tegas dengan kita punya matlamat membawa suara-suara orang-orang yang tak dokumen ni. Kalau mereka tak nak, kita kena cakap mereka kena buat. Kalau mereka nak buat, kita kena ajar macam mana untuk buat. Bukan bermaksud kita ni tahu semua benda, tidak. Sebab kita bekerja dekat ground, kita belajar dekat kita bekerja dekat lapangan. Jadi berjumpa dengan mereka, tinggal dengan mereka, kita tahu mungkin apa yang cadangan yang lebih baik.
Other than encouraging the authorities to act, Sekolah Alternatif has also been encouraging the public to participate as volunteers. Alright, announcement. Anyone interested in teaching or helping out Sekolah Alternatif and don't mind staying in Sabah for a week or two or a month or two, you can contact them directly. Volunteering shouldn't be complicated. You don't necessarily have to come up with a 9-to-5 plan of what should I do with the children. Volunteers are people who make things a lot easier, remember. So you can help them with reading, you can help them remember one letter per day, and that is already a very big contribution.
Saya rasa okey juga macam bulan 11 tahun lepas seorang cikgu dari Sarawak, dia dari Kapit Sarawak. Dia cakap cikgu nama dia Kak Isma. Kak Isma tak tahu nak buat apa dengan budak-budak ni, dia kata. Lepas tu dia cakap, tak apa, Kak Isma cikgu sains kan, buat simple experiment sains. Tapi dia kata, I don't have materials. Lepas tu dia tengok, ada projector. Dia kata, ada? Okay, kita buat bayang-bayang. Wow. So, sampai sekarang budak-budak tu menggunakan tangan mereka buat bayang-bayang macam-macam kan. Kita boleh buat
burung, apa anjing.
Rama-rama. Dapat, sesimpel tu. You just need projector, maybe some laptops to show like some examples dengan tangan, you punya jari. Kan apa, simple je. So anak-anak sampai sekarang ingat, oh itulah konsep bayang-bayang.
Seronok.
Dia membawa pada konsep cahaya pula. Legap lah, separa legap lah apa benda kan. Ada je kalau tanya murid-murid, adik-adik kamu macam mana? Oh, sudah tahu membaca cikgu aku ajar. Begitu dia cakap. Okey lah.
Bagus.
Memang itu pun maksudnya matlamat kita dah capai lah.
Kan? Mesti gembira tak bila dengar
gembira
berita-berita macam tu?
Dah harapkan lebih banyak anak-anak boleh masuk dan lebih banyak mereka tahulah. Mereka tahu untuk saudara nanti, mungkin sekarang kita bercakap pasal mereka, akan datang mereka bercakap pasal hak mereka. Mereka menuntut. Kita tak tahu kan akan datang dengan teknologi semua ni.
Betul.
Mereka lah.
That wraps our second episode of Undocumented Sabah. Those are a lot to digest, so we thank you for staying till the end, listening to Shakila's stories and hopes for the stateless children. The situation is complex, so join us again in the next episodes as we dive deeper into this issue. Here's a clue. We want to help, but in what ways can we actually help them? Make sure you subscribe to our podcast so you don't miss an episode. If you haven't followed us on Instagram, please kindly search for our Instagram account, Undocumented Sabah. Click the follow button and share it around. Thank you. Atau orang Bajau cakap, maksukul.